This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We could rip Aaron Rodgers all we want. We could rip Daniel Jones for reportedly seeking $45 million a year. Oh, by the way, he has not said a word. So all of this is total conjecture. I know people are reporting it from sources. Until we hear it from Daniel Jones' mouth, we have no idea. But we do know about Aaron Rodgers going to the darkness retreat. He booked 4 days. He came out after 2.5. We still don't know what his decision is, and we might not. Because if he's an attention seeker, he's going to milk it even more, milk it over the weekend, and probably milk it to the next Pat McAfee appearance. Because to him, that's social media. He doesn't have to type anything. All he has to do is go on Pat McAfee, and the whole world knows it. It's funny, though. Different reporters have different stories, right? So earlier in the week, we heard a story that the Packers, you know, want Rodgers to go because Jordan Love is the guy. Jordan Love is the guy. Well, here's Jeff Darlington. He was on ESPN earlier, and this is what he said about the Packers' thoughts about Jordan Love.
As much as you might just want to rid yourself of this drama, if you knew that Jordan Love was your franchise quarterback and a championship quarterback, I feel like that we would have already gone there. So you kind of know what's that. If you don't have Aaron Rodgers, you don't really have maybe a championship caliber quarterback. And he is still one of the best in the league. So I think ultimately they realize that they're a better team with Aaron Rodgers, regardless of the headaches that that might come with.
Now, if you're not a fan of Rodgers, that, you know, he gets too sensitive, if Jordan Love is not the actual good replacement for him, think about it. One of the things that set him off when all of this began and became a little bit of a diva was when they selected Jordan Love with a high draft pick rather than giving him the help that he needs. He said, what are you getting my replacement for when I'm still here and you could use that pick to get something that helps me? So if, in fact, they swung and missed on Jordan Love, then it was, in exactly as he says, a complete waste. All right, so let's say they really truly want him to come back. That doesn't mean anything unless he wants to come back. Now, they could play hardball with him, and he could come out of the hole and go, I want to play, but I want to play for you. And the Packers could say, you know what? Since we're taking the cap hit anyway, and we owe you about $60 million next year, you either play for us or you don't play for anybody. It'll be interesting to see if it becomes a high-stakes game of chicken. Maybe they don't want to trade him. Even if he says he wants to go to the Jets or the Raiders or the Titans, they could really put the screws down and go, you either play here or you don't play.
Well, you're not really saying much to say that Rodgers gives you a better chance to win than Jordan Love. He's thrown 83 passes in his career. And Peter brought up the point, they could have very easily pulled the plug on Rodgers, you know, in week 13 when they were under 500 and it looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs, and didn't because they still felt Rodgers gave him a better chance. That's fine, but that doesn't mean you don't think Jordan Love has a future. And you got to start deciding, because if you decide to bring Rodgers back, that's fine. But then at the end of the year, you're going to have to make a decision on the fifth-year option for Love.
Now, if you listen to Darlington, because of the uncertainty with Rodgers, this is what he thinks about Derek Carr and the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers is not yet available, and maybe he does become available, but at this point, there are so many factors in play, not the least of which is the compensation that you would have to give up to get Rodgers. I fully understand the idea of, if you didn't feel like Derek Carr was a guy who could get you a championship, waiting on Aaron Rodgers. But if you're saying that to him, unless that is just a BS sales pitch to just try to keep him on the line, and maybe it is, you should sign him right now. Waiting will do only one thing. It will cost you Derek Carr, and you could potentially see Aaron Rodgers not just stay in with the Packers, which obviously pretty good odds on that, but potentially go to a team like the Raiders, who have Devontae Adams, who have Mark Davis, who wants to make a splash at the quarterback position, who has Josh McDaniels, who covets Aaron Rodgers' ability and believes he's an elite quarterback. So if you're the Jets and you're waiting around for Aaron Rodgers, you are waiting to fight a battle that you might not even win.
Now, there's some caveats to this, though. If they've had the talk with Derek Carr, and the best way to deal with this stuff is honesty up front, is to just say, listen, we love you and we think you can win a Super Bowl here. Our first choice is Aaron Rodgers. Now, that's no knock on you. Aaron Rodgers is one of the five best quarterbacks who has ever lived. So we want to see what plays out with him. And if it doesn't play out with him, we're going to make you a big offer. So waiting for Aaron Rodgers doesn't cost them anything unless they lose Derek Carr. Now, maybe Derek Carr is intrigued about playing in New York. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's intrigued about playing for the Jets. Maybe he's willing to wait, because even if he does wait and one chair gets removed in musical chairs, his price only goes up. That means that there are teams that there is no Aaron Rodgers respite, and they need him, and his price might go up. So I don't think the Jets are playing a high-stakes game of chicken unless Derek Carr said, if you don't sign me now, I'm going to sign somewhere else. So maybe they have an agreement that if he's about to get an offer from somebody and is considering taking it, he's going to come back to them. It's according to how much they loved each other in that weekend visit, guys.
Let's piece together the information that's out there. The information that's out there, if you want to believe it, is the Jets were highly impressed with Carr, believe they can win a championship with Carr, believe that he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he signs with the Jets. That's out there, okay? So that leads you to believe the Jets are very interested. On Carr's side, we heard from his brother, David, that he wants to wait. He doesn't want to sign right away. He wants to wait. So is that true? So that maybe the Jets are hot for him, and Carr's like, no, I want to wait. I want to weigh some other offers. I only visited with the Saints. I want to see if the Panthers call. I want to see if the Buccaneers call. I want to see what Rodgers does, and then whoever doesn't get Rodgers might make me a big offer. So that's out there too. So all that can be true. And maybe the Jets told him, listen, we were interested in Rodgers, but you know, we really like you too. But we haven't heard that. We heard the Jets are interested, but we didn't hear that that came out of the Carr conversation. All we heard was they lumped a ton of praise on Carr.
Now, Lewis Riddick made an interesting point today on Get Up. You know, getting David Carr is a great get for the Jets, but it's not the sexiness.
Derek's old. I mean, David's old. You want to go Derek.
Did I say David again?
That's right.
I'm sorry. So Derek Carr, it's a nice signing. It's impressive, but it's not the scene stealer, and that's what Lewis Riddick talks about with the Jets.
Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about this over the past 2 days and in days prior. This comes down to Joe Douglas making sure that he figures out who is the right person at quarterback. I understand the love affair and the absolute desire to have someone who is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers. But this is about culture. This is about someone who's not only going to be concerned about himself, but is going to really focus in on making the young skill position players of this team better. Garrett Wilson needs the right guy. He deserves the right guy. Elijah Moore needs the right guy. He deserves the right guy. Let's get the right person in here, and let's see if whether or not they can go ahead and get over the hump.
They can both be the
okay,
right person.
Okay, I get, but I love when people talk about culture. Culture goes down the toilet if you can get a superstar, as I was hearing from the Nets just the other day. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out for them. They happened to get two superstars that weren't the right fit, and one of them didn't feel like playing a lot. But if they did feel like playing, we saw what happened if they felt like playing. For a quarter of this season, they were 18-2. Culture goes second to talent. It just does. I've seen talented players that are absolute creeps, miserable, and teams bring them in because you know why? Because they're great. So if Derek Carr is better culturally for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is just better, you go with Aaron Rodgers.
No, I think the Jets are motivated by one thing. Who's going to give us a chance to win a championship? I think they're both – they're not bad guys. Right? I mean, Rodgers might be a bit of a nozzle. He's not a bad guy.
No, he doesn't get into trouble.
You know, Carr's a really good guy. I mean, even the Raiders praised him out the door about what a good human being he is. But, you know, the answer could be both. Peter, the answer could be both of these guys are good guys. Both of these guys are the right fit. But one's got to be better than the other.
I wonder, when I was poking around the other day after we got a call about it, I did look into that period where the Raiders – it was alleged by people that the Raiders teammates of Derek Carr had sort of turned on him around like the kneeling Kaepernick situation. But I really couldn't find anything credible to substantiate that. It was all sort of rumored. So I'm like kind of looking for what is the thing about Derek Carr that's out there. But so far, I'm not aware of it. He does seem to be that guy. I mean, listen, you're getting a better player in Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, you are. There's no way around that. Whether he's older or not, he's truly one of the greatest to ever pick up a football. But you're also getting, you know, a bigger cost, more headaches, almost guaranteed, and a bigger risk. Like, there may be a higher ceiling for Rodgers, but they're absolutely, potentially a lower floor because of his age.
And as for Derek Carr, Peter, he never had problems with John Gruden. He never had problems with any other coach until Josh McDaniels. That was it. Josh McDaniels. It didn't seem like it was a player thing at all. I mean, Devontae Adams went there because of him. It's how much he loved him from college. So I can't find anything that players don't like him. He seems like a good guy. I mean, he might have a brother that's a little bit too involved, but his brother does have NFL experience. It was a number one draft pick, so his brother knows from once he speaks. So I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. I go back and forth on it because I think that Rodgers is going to be a headache, and it does have draft capital involved. But if you're looking for the better player, even off a bad year, he had a better year. Off a bad year, it was close. It was close. They're both about the same touchdowns, about the same interceptions, about the same yards. But if you look over the history, the two previous years, Rodgers is the MVP. So Rodgers is a better player, although he's older.
Rodgers lost his best weapon, ironically enough, to the Raiders. And his thumb was a problem all year, which you don't think is going to be an issue. So I think all things being equal, Rodgers right now is the best quarterback. But that doesn't mean that it's the right choice because, like, you know, Mike Tannenbaum has said, do you want to give up that kind of capital for what could only, you know, just be 1 year? I think the only headache, Peter, is you get to the end of the year, is he going to stay or is he going to go? I don't think he's going to be a headache during the year. I mean, yeah, he's kind of nozzly and stuff, but he comes to play. It's not. I don't really see any. Yeah, he had some issues with the younger receivers because he wanted to win now, and he had young receivers that were running the wrong routes and they were inexperienced. But he's going to come to a team where he's familiar with the offensive coordinator. All this young Jet talent's got a year under their belt.
But I feel like a broken record. I know I've said this many times, and maybe I'm overstating it, but he also was not ready to be in camp when it started last year, and it did take him longer to gel within his receivers than he had to. And that does fit into some of the nozzly mishigas that you might get with Rodgers. Isn't that fair?
That is fair. And one of the things that players don't like about him is that he corrects them on the field in full view of everybody.
Right.
But I think Garrett Wilson is enough of a guy who just say to Rodgers, shut up. You know, he just won the offensive rookie of the year. Rodgers going to Canton, but I don't think Garrett Wilson is any kind of shrinking violet. He'll get right in Aaron Rodgers' face because it's not that like godlike quality that he has in Green Bay.
I don't know about that. I was going to say the opposite. I feel like while Garrett Wilson's a stud, he's kind of young enough and completely grew up probably somewhat, you know, certainly admiring, if not idolizing Aaron Rodgers. So I just wonder whether he wouldn't care. You know, it's just you're playing with someone that great. You might have to find a rhythm with them, but like I don't know that I'd see any of the Jets having major problems with that if they're serious about winning.
Let's take some phone calls on this. Larry in West Orange. Larry?
Yeah, Michael, you said you'd take the better player over culture. I said there's a lot of coaches that would disagree with you. I mean, look, just taking what happened with the Nets, those guys blew up a team that was on the right path before they got them. And on top of that, like Jay Wright said when he was the Villanova coach, he had success at first. Then he took these great players. They didn't mesh with his culture. Once he found the players like Brunson and Hart that messed with his culture, he won two national championships. I really disagree with you. Got to agree with your culture. And I have no idea if Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr is the right pick. I know the Jets' history. They'll make the wrong pick no matter what happens.
But Larry, I hear what you're saying, and culture is important. But the Nets were building a culture. They were not heading toward a championship what they had, not in the next few years. So they were going for it. And they picked the wrong guys. But I'll go way, way back and give you an example of a guy who didn't fit the culture, and that was Reggie Jackson with the Yankees. I mean, he and Thurman Munson butted heads immediately. Yeah. Immediately. And you know what happened by getting Reggie Jackson? They won the world championship in 77 and 78. So culture's nice. The best culture is winning. And also, a lot of people have told me, and Buck Showalter has told me this too, and Billy Martin told me this, you could bring in a jerk. As long as you surround him with 25 good guys, the jerk, if he's talented, he cannot infect the whole place if the culture is good. Unfortunately for the Nets, it kind of infected their ability to win because the two best players weren't on the court.
But honestly, Michael, when you hear a coach say, or a general manager comes over or a new owner and they say, mission number one is to change the culture, they're talking about winning.
Yeah,
that's the culture they're talking about, right? Yeah, there's some dumpster fires where changing the culture, getting better players, getting nicer, you know, good guys instead of always going after bad guys or whatever. Yeah, that's part of it. But when you're trying to change, when the Jets talk about changing the culture, they're trying to change the losing. So you get the player that's going to change the losing.
Let's go to Steve in Flushing. Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I wanted to make a point on the two players that were sort of, I guess, overthinking it, in my opinion, and Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. Uh-huh. I think we got to put this in perspective. So if you look at the last 11 Super Bowl winning teams, their running backs haven't made more than $2.5 million a year on average. So if you're going to tell me that you got to pay a running back this amount of money, he's been, you know, we drafted him high, that's the reason why we have to keep Saquon Barkley, I'm going to tell you that's baloney.
Yeah, but okay, let me stop you for a second, Steve. Who's going to be the running back next year? Breida? Who's going to be the running back for the Giants?
Wait a second. Who's one of the top four or five running backs in the NFC who's a free agent this year? And he plays in your division.
You're not going to get him for free.
Tony Pollard, you think he's going to ask for $12 million a year? You can get Tony Pollard. You can get Miles. We could get Miles Sanders for like $2 million. These guys haven't even
made
$1.2
million. You're not getting Miles Sanders for $2
million. How much has he made? Look at his last 4 years.
I know, but off the year that he just had, they went to the Super Bowl. You think he's going to go for $2 million? I mean, God bless him if they can get Miles Sanders for $2
million. If you can get Miles Sanders and Tony Pollard combined, I think you're going to get, for less in my opinion, then you're going to pay just to get Saquon Barkley, who's an injury-prone player. So, listen, we've seen it. All these teams with the running backs, it's not the running back that matters. Okay, you can plug and play guys, and the discrepancy between the 10th best running back and the top three is not that big a thing. It doesn't necessarily translate to winning. The quarterback translates to winning. So, yeah, Daniel Jones – first of all, by the way, Daniel Jones, I'm hearing the rumors that he did not ask for $45 million a year. That's
right.
Something that his old agency has put out as a rumor to make him look bad. So let's pump the brakes on that.
It's still 41 or 42 is the other offer, so it's still a lot more than what the Giants rumored to have offered.
Yeah, but wait a second. If we're not going to waste our time with giving Saquon Barkley $12 million, we don't have to pay him 40-some-odd millions for Daniel Jones. We could just franchise him. The guy's had one good year in 4 years. Let's give him one more year where we actually open up the offense and make it a little more complicated
but
for
Steve,
him.
But, Steve, if you franchise him for the $32.4 million, that's all against the cap. They can't make much improvement after that. That's why they want to sign him to a long-term deal.
It's a one-year thing. If he doesn't
understand
improve...
it's a one-year thing, but they already were they were operating without any room on the cap because of Gettleman, and now they've got $50 million on the cap, and you're going to take away $32.4 million of it and leave it $17.6 million to improve the team. You can't say it's just 1 year. That's 1 year that you're not making any significant movement.
And also, let's not forget, guys, that they don't have a lot of talent to begin with. You know, they're going to have to replenish these wide receivers, tight ends, and so Saquon is a weapon that they have, and I think they want to keep, and I'm cool keeping him too.
He's saying, no, you know, don't pay him. They already offered him 12 and a half.
Right.
That's
so
what they think of him.
They offered him
12 and a half.
And I don't think they're going to go over that.
And maybe the Cowboys are letting Pollard go.
No, and if they did, you'd have to pay a lot more. Maybe not 12, but you're definitely going to be paying way more than the 2.5 that he's claimed, that you're going to get two running backs for the price. Listen, I'm the first person to say when they drafted Barkley was a mistake. I can find running backs in a great offensive system that can excel. You don't have to spend it the second overall pick. You can get him in the third round. You can get him on the cheap. But he's a good kid. They like him. The fans like him. He's a weapon that they have. So a bird in a hand, right? They're going to have to go out find a bunch of weapons. They can check the box at running back with Saquon. But there's obviously a budget, and I don't think they're going to go a penny over what they offered him during the bye week. And I don't think he's getting anything more elsewhere.
That I'm not sure. I would if you said you got to land on one side, I would agree with you, but I'm not certain, Don. You never know. Let's go to Rob in Brooklyn. Robbie.
Rob.
Yeah, I want to talk about Don's list. Was that over 10 minutes? That was ridiculous. I want to kill myself.
Oh, you should have.
Rob, I love
it. Tough.
Yes.
What didn't you like? You're not a music fan?
No, it was just too long. Your list was too long. I'll
try to shorten it up for you, Rob. I really care what you think.
I do agree with Feebay.
Oh, there you go. That makes my night.
The other thing with Carr and Rodgers, if you're talking about taking Rodgers, ain't going to guarantee you Super Bowl in 2 years. I'd rather take Carr for five, because they'll get to the playoffs just like Rodgers will, and hopefully over the 5 years they'll get to the Super Bowl.
But one thing, everything is percentages, Rob. Nothing guarantees a Super Bowl. If they got Patrick Mahomes for the next season, it doesn't guarantee a Super Bowl. But what brings you closer, Rodgers or Carr? I mean, that's an easy one. Rodgers does. Now, Carr will give you 5 years. Rodgers will give you two. But I love when nothing guarantees. That's exactly it. Nothing. Nothing. You could bring Steve Young into a time machine and make him 30 years old and put him on the Jets. Does that guarantee a Super Bowl? No. The Chiefs aren't guaranteed a Super Bowl next year. We're talking about probability. What's the greatest probability of them getting to the Super Bowl? Well, having the best quarterback they could get. Who's the better quarterback, Rodgers or Carr? Forget about years. Who's the best quarterback this year?
Right.
It's Rodgers, right?
Yeah, because the Jets, whether you believe it or not, Michael's not really sure, but the Jets think they've got a championship team that's missing a quarterback. So why are we talking about 3-4 years down the road? If they can get a year or two out of Rodgers and get that championship. And we don't know. Do we know that the Jets are going to be this talented 3-4 years from now?
No. We have no idea. And they're going to have to start paying Gardner then and Wilson. Garrett,
right.
Not Zach.
And then injuries happen. And there's a, listen, we've seen great teams, and all of a sudden, 2-3 years later, it's like, what the heck happened? Strike while the iron's hot. It's hot now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good news is we keep him at ESPN.
Oh, thank God.
Yay!
Vance Joseph, who used to actually be the head coach of the Broncos,
sure he did.
He got the job over Rex Ryan. I'm sure Rex is a little disappointed. But Rex had said he would only take a job that was perfect for him, but I guess he thought that this one was, because he did interview it with him and obviously wanted it, but didn't get it. So he returns to ESPN. And nice. One of the best spots on the station is when he joins DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning. So that continues. I don't know if that would have continued if he was the Broncos defensive coordinator.
I mean, maybe.
And who
wouldn't want to have a call with someone related to that exciting Broncos team?
Wow. Some baseball news. Bryce Harper expected to report to the Phillies camp in 2 weeks. He had elbow surgery. You know, there's some talk that he'll be back at midseason, but if he gets there in 2 weeks, well, maybe he gets
promising.
There a little bit sooner. I know you've been wondering about that, Peter.
You just came with two really hard-hitting news stories back-to-back. Don's overwhelmed. I can hear it in his voice.
Well, as overwhelmed as I was with the over 10-minute top 10, top five, whatever, and our previous call.
Don didn't say anything. He didn't say, those are stories I don't care about.
What's wrong with your mic? Why don't you just go away today? It's time for you to go.
I keep touching it. I don't know why I'm getting excited. Whoa, that's not what I
want. We're going to hear that again.
No, that's not the last time.
I think we're going to hear a lot of that. That's March is right around the corner.
Let's go to Jim in Stormville. I don't know where Stormville is. Where's Stormville, Jim?
Hey, guys. Hey, it's up in Dutchess County.
Okay.
Not too far. Before I get to my Jet question, just want to say I love you on the broadcast, the Yankee broadcast. Me and my kids love you, Mike.
Thank you.
And Donnie, on the hockey call, awesome.
And thank you.
Quote Scott Gomez, and you guys never play this drop anymore. The Donnie, you're the best drop. I love that one.
Yeah, what happened to that
drop?
Yeah,
what happened, man? You know what? Yeah. I think it ran its course.
Wait, who said that?
Oh, come
Scott
on.
Scott Gomez.
Donnie, Scott Gomez. I don't know if it's applicable anymore. When he said it, it was true.
But my question is, if you're starting a franchise tomorrow, who do you want, Derek Carr or Daniel Jones? And if your answer is Daniel Jones, then there's no way the Jets should go get David Carr. Because I think David Carr puts you in, like,
Derek Carr.
Quarterback. Derek Carr, I'm sorry. He puts you in quarterback purgatory. And I'd rather be out there trying to find somebody or wait for Rodgers.
But wait a minute, Jim. You would take Daniel Jones to start a franchise rather than Derek Carr?
I would. I think
it's
upside.
Wait.
2 years ago, Derek Carr threw for 4,800 yards. This guy's not nothing.
And you think, and real quick, just to add to that, you use the word Derek Carr would put you in quarterback purgatory, but you'd start the whole thing if you could with Daniel Jones? That's weird to me.
Yeah, the only thing that Daniel Jones has is the age difference.
And he can play in New York, and he's proved that. And you
what's he proven? He had 15 touchdowns last year, Jim. You act like he proved something by going to a Super Bowl. Beat a Vikings team that was very suspect and then got his butt handed to him by the Eagles.
And guys, listen, do I think Derek Carr might be a tad overrated? Yeah, you can make the case, but you know I just did the math. He has averaged over 24 touchdown passes a year. Now, that's not eye-popping, but guess what? It's 9 more than Daniel Jones threw last year, and the guy's asking for over $40 million a year. Now, do I think Daniel Jones can become better than Carr with the right coaching and with the right weapons? Yeah, I think there's a reasonable chance, but that's still a chance. You know what Carr is. Carr is going to go out there if he's healthy. And with these jet weapons, he's going to throw for north of 4,500 yards and north of 25 touchdown passes. Can Jones do that next year, Michael?
I'm dubious. Now, one of our listeners did send something on social media. I don't know if you saw it, Peter.
I did. I wonder,
Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper, yeah. I just noticed it, too.
Yeah, Amari Cooper said his best teammate of all time was Derek Carr.
Hmm.
That's a pretty good player saying that that's his favorite teammate of all time.
Right. Also, I would push you out there if you've never gone back, if you've never watched. I know Don hasn't because he's not interested in the vehicle. The Raiders Hard Knocks from a couple of years ago is what made me really like Derek Carr. There's a lot to like about Derek Carr.
It's funny that caller said, "If you're starting a franchise, I thought he was going to say, would you take Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers?" He said Derek Carr and Daniel Jones. Now, starting the franchise is what puts a little bit of a fly in the ointment because you want the younger player.
Right.
So the younger player is Daniel Jones, and he could grow with the franchise. But if you're looking for the best quarterback, which is the proper question, the best quarterback in 2023-24 is Derek Carr. It's not Daniel Jones.
But I do agree with the caller that if you think Daniel Jones is better than Derek Carr, then don't go after Derek Carr. But
you
I don't
think the Jets
the
think that.
No, I don't. Why would the Jets even compare the two? Like it's that, like
I've heard so many people that I respect say, "Boy, if the Giants don't franchise Jones, that the Jets will go after him for what?
For 2 first round picks?
No. If they didn't franchise him, he was dead free agent. That they would go after him. And I'm go, well, how would that be the solution? Again, would that be a top? He's not a top flight quarterback. But, he's not a top 10 quarterback.
But the thing I'm saying is there could be an avenue to that. If the Giants franchised him, the Jets could have him for 2 first-round picks.
The Jets would give up 2 first-round draft
picks? No.
I want to see the team that would give up 2 first-round draft picks for Daniel Jones.
No.
Who couldn't even get a fifth-year option picked up by the team that knows him best. Last year,
and
now he throws 15 touchdowns and run for 7, and people are going to be throwing 2 first-round draft picks at him?
Now, the Giants are hemming and hawing about giving him $40 million, and rightly so. They've got leverage. The team that gives up 2 first-round picks to get Jones has zero leverage. You can't not sign him then. He just gave up 2 first-round picks. You're going to have to give him exactly what he wants. The Jets would be nuts to give up 2 first-round picks and between $41 and $42 million a year for Daniel Jones. That'd be a lot to give up. You're not even sure to give up the 13th overall pick for Rodgers.
Yeah, that would make me nervous. Let's go to Arsenio in Rutherford.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So, as a diehard Jet fan, you know, I'm like enamored by the thought of having Aaron Rodgers be my QB. But realistically, I do feel that moving forward, Derek Carr for the same reason you guys have said makes more sense, based on the deal he would get, amount of years, and the fact that he's obviously younger and we don't have to give up anything, just pay him.
Right.
But something about him in that locker room, and I've been saying it probably since the end of the season, even a couple of weeks before the season ended, I feel like he would mesh so well with that locker room and with our fan base. Like, his passion that he has when he plays, like how he wears his emotions on his sleeves, I feel like he would mesh well with all of the craziness that we bring as Jeff fans and the delusion, not the delusion, but the delusion. But just, I feel like he would really, like, it would work. But one thing I want to say, if they get Derek Carr, obviously Zach Wilson is done. But I do think that if they do somehow get Aaron Rodgers, I don't think Zach Wilson is officially done. I think since his, you know, years are numbered, they'll definitely maybe have Rodgers, you know, mentor him. But if Derek Carr comes here, I definitely see a trade coming in, and they're definitely trading Zach Wilson for whatever Joe Douglas can get.
Well, I don't see how Zach Wilson fits if Derek Carr is here, because Derek Carr is going to be here for at least 5 years.
Right.
So I do see how he fits if they get Rodgers. Rodgers was his idol growing up. He's had conversations with him about quarterbacking, so now they could work hand in hand. I think there's something there that could salvage Wilson and the Jets. Although Peter doesn't agree.
Isn't that a huge piece, though? Like, you're talking about that little wrinkle making them entirely different propositions.
I don't get you. What do you mean?
Meaning, we're talking about, could it be Derek Carr or could it be Aaron Rodgers? Obviously, you want Rodgers because he's the man. I get that. But the idea of if that's a major factor, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers and we're going to have Zach Wilson learn from him. That is such a completely different thing than we're signing Derek Carr and we're dumping Zach Wilson. Because that is exactly what would happen. I mean, unless, I can't imagine Zach Wilson is going to want to settle into being a backup permanently. Furthermore, also, right. Don, isn't the point of having a backup a guy who can win you a game in a big spot?
Right,
he's
exactly.
not that. So
that's the thing, is that where is he going to be on your depth chart? Because at the end of next season, you're going to have to give him the fifth-year option. So let's say he backs up Rodgers, or is the third string, because as you said, are you going to go from Rodgers to Wilson in big games? You almost have to. You might have to sign Mike White just to have a backup to Rodgers that can win you games. So at the end of the 3 years, Peter, how much am I going to have to pay Wilson? Or am I just going to take a third-round pick for him and move on? I think Zach is done.
See that I'm not quite sure. I don't think he just. The fact it shouldn't be, well, as long as Joe Douglas is here, you can't just give him away.
No, but I'm not saying give him away. Like I said, you get a third round pick possibly for him. Let's say he sits behind Rodgers or Carr or whoever. Then at the end of the year, you got to give him a contract.
Right.
If it's Rodgers, Wilson be like, I want to get paid because I'm going to be the next guy. I'm going to be the guy to replace Rodgers. Are you willing to do that? Not knowing, because he's not going to play. So what do you have? You don't know if you have anything other than what you've seen in practice in the preseason. If Rodgers stays healthy, that's a whole year that Wilson doesn't play. What are you giving him? What contract are you going to offer him?
Well, I think at that point he has no leverage, so he's got to take what you give him, I would think. We'll see.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. Ice picks
driven by Nissan. Boy, did I almost hit that three-leg parlay, man. The only thing I lost was the Dallas game, and they blew a 3-0 lead. I got the under on the Islander game. I got the Flames on the money line. It was so good, but what are you going to do? So I'm going to try a three-leg parlay tonight.
Do it.
Got the Caps home for the Ducks. Looks like Ovechkin's going to play for the Caps on the money line. Golden Knights against the Flames on the money line, getting the Flames on the second of back-to-backs, and Boston seeking revenge on the Kraken. Last time they played in Boston, Seattle beat them 4-0, so I think Boston's going to win this one. So I got Boston, Vegas, and Washington on the money line, three-leg parlay at plus 251. That's today's Ice Picks driven by Nissan. Hurry into the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event.
Get a killer deal at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their seven locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. Now, Peter, I know I messed up, but that you couldn't figure out FanDuel, I mean, you're at fault here.
No.
It totally changes the whole thing because I know I didn't have a read.
Right.
So
that
because
was at 4:42, I was looking at the wrong hour. So it's my bad, but I said two fans, I have the word fan in there, have pistols. I said pistols, not guns.
Fair.
And they start together, they walk 10 paces apart, turn around, what do you call that? And you'll go, I don't know.
Well, I didn't say
that. It was out of context, so if he's not expecting FanDuel. But then again, I wasn't, what did I know when I knew what you were talking about? I didn't have a read.
Yeah, two fans having a duel is pretty easy to get. I give you that. But I was thrown off because I didn't have one. So I was like, well, why would he be doing that? Yeah. The answer is because you're a hack. But I didn't realize that.
You realize that.
True. Good point.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Charles in Franklin Park. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Char. What's going on, fellas? How are you guys doing?
All good, man. All good.
Wow. There's two points I wanted to make. The major thing that I called in on was because of Don's list. But before I get to that, I want to ask you guys about Daniel Jones. Do you think he can really improve given the Giants' offensive line? He ran for 700 yards plus for a reason.
Well, you can only assume that the line is going to get better and that they're going to get him more weapons. So, yes, I do think he can improve. He better if they're giving him $190 million.
Yeah, the line wasn't the problem it had been in years past, but I get you.
I'd like to see him get more than those 15 TDs, as Don said.
I agree.
But, Don, the one reason I wanted to call you was on your list.
Yes.
You pulled a couple of great tunes from the Motown vault. Papa Was a Rolling Stone and Rare Earth, I Know I'm Losing You, which, by the way, was a cover of The Temptations. But the best Motown song that was over 10 minutes, you blew.
What's that?
Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye.
Wow.
That's
wow.
A good one. That's
got
a good
to
one.
Give It Up. Yeah, you blew that one, buddy.
Now, that's how long has Got to Give It Up? Part
11
two?
Minutes and 56 seconds.
Wow. Yeah. You know what?
And I got the answer. Good job.
I got it.
See what happens when you talk nicely to people? Thank you, Charles.
Very rarely that, Charles, it's very rarely that Don ever even like capitulates a little bit. And I feel some capitulation here, Peter.
Well, I also I would like to, you know, I might have fit in "Oh Captain, My Captain" from Grand Funk Railroad. That's another classic.
Yeah,
but I had some fun with it, and I'm getting a nice reaction on Twitter. Some people are just mean spirited and they hate themselves. And listen, I can't do anything about you hating yourself.
No,
you know, hopefully you'll overcome that. Seek therapy.
Wait a second. See, I didn't like the list, and you're right. I do hate myself. But how do you know these people don't hate? Why do they hate themselves?
Because Charles called. It was a gentleman. And he
oh,
gave
so the
some,
people that are giving you grief on Twitter are being
awful, the garbage list, Don. Then you know what? Go Tonka truck yourself in the corner.
How do you do that?
Well, yeah, I could
explain it.
Know,
go ahead.
We all know how to do it.
Or plastic,
you know,
now.
Won't take much longer. I know your stamina.
You talking about me?
No, just in general, these people.
Okay.
Just be nice about it. Get disagree. It's a list. It's
people.
It,
Don, do you realize the time we're living in? People aren't nice.
No,
I know, but you know, but I want to celebrate Charles, who was nice, and he got his point across, and we had a nice gentleman's conversation.
Two gentlemen.
Because that was a grown up,
right? An actual adult.
John in Apple Valley, are you an adult, John? John, do you exist?
Hello, okay.
Johnny.
Hello.
Hi, John.
I love when
are you there?
Gets us.
No, sure, we are.
We're not anymore.
No, we are.
No, he's gone. That's
so wrong.
But you got to realize the rules of engagement, Peter. See ya.
Yeah, how many chances you get, Peter?
I don't think Ebros would allow this.
I mean, that's not necessarily the standard.
Well, I think it's the standard. I look up to Ebros. I've never met him. Can't wait for the wedding when I do. But everything I've heard about the guy, successful, driven, brilliant.
Plural name.
Right.
Got a lot going on there.
At least Mayor Adams called him a name. No, Mayor Adams had no use for me.
That's a great point. You weren't even one Michael K, let alone two Ebros.
Right. If he would have called me K's, that would have been great.
Right. It would have been something.
No, I got nothing. Cameron Maben got a number. I got nothing.
Cameron Maben
whenever you're in town, not me.
I mean, listen, Cameron Maben does seem like a gem of a guy.
He is.
But there's no world in which he had heard of him as a ball player.
He just thought he was cooler than I am.
Correct.
He didn't
want
to hang out
with
me.
That's what's so painful.
You sure they didn't know each other previous?
How would they know?
Never met him. Cam never met him. Mayor Adams could not have given his digits up sooner. And I felt like saying, I'm right here. I can see you. I'll never get over that.
It's kind of like meetings with ESPN executives when you're around Michael.
Well said.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.